Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 211, Gaming Against Anxiety. So welcome all of you new and longtime listeners alike. This episode's a little different than what we normally do here at Wargaming Recon. Usually we have a guest on, or we're doing a review of a game, or I might be joined by one of my buddies, and we're going to, you know, talk about whatever, just kind of a casual conversation. This one, though, it's just me, and I'm going to be doing a little bit more of a personal sharing, I guess you could say, for this episode. And as the title might suggest, it's going to be a bit of a heavier topic. And I want to say, first of all, don't turn off, because don't be like, oh man, this is like an audio vlog that's just going to be like an audio diary. It's part that, but it's going to be broadened out because we're going to share some tips that should help you and actually talk about some things that are going on with Kickstarter and also some stuff with the Mythwits as well. And the other thing I want to say is, I am going to be talking about anxiety. I'm going to be talking about depression. I am not a professional. I can't stress it enough. I do not have a medical background in it. I do not have any sort of professional knowledge or experience. Before I say anything else about the episode, I need to stress, please, if you or anyone you know is suffering from depression or anxiety, help is available. In the United States, you can reach the National Suicide Prevention Helpline via live chat, which we'll have a link in our show notes. You can get those at wargamingrecon.com/WR211. You can also call them 24 hours a day at 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. I know what you're thinking. Oh, wait, I don't have depression, I don't have anxiety, or I'm not suicidal, why would I call that? Well, if you're having any sort of mental health concerns, it's okay to call it. They're there to help. They'll direct you into whatever area that might be most beneficial to you. I know that this is really just for the United States, but every country kind of has their own helplines. It's impossible for me to share all that information because there's just so many countries. But do a quick search online and you can find it. Any of these entities can help you with anxiety. They can help you with depression. You can also reach out to a family doctor. You could reach out to a trusted friend, a family member, a therapist, a psychiatrist, anyone who you think could help you. Just something as simple as getting someone to listen to you or lending an ear to a buddy who might just seem like they need to blow off some steam or get something off their chest can make a big difference. So usually when I do an episode of the show, I don't have a disclaimer like that, right? I don't warn you about stuff. I don't say, oh, hey, we're going to have these other things. This is a different episode. I want to tell you why I'm talking about anxiety and a little bit about depression in this episode and why it pertains to all of us, even if we don't personally deal with it, right? You might not have it, but maybe your buddy does, or maybe a friend of your friend does, or maybe a family member does. According to the website Quora, there's an estimate that about 7.5 million people in the United States play board games. That's a bottom level kind of based off of sales of Settlers of Catan, now known as Catan. Does everyone who plays a board game play Catan? No. Does everyone who plays a tabletop game play a board game? No. I mean, that leaves out anyone who does any sort of minis gaming or RPGs or other tabletop games or video games or computer games. But we're going to go with that 7.5 million figure just because that's the one I could have on hand. Time Magazine reports an APA, that's an American Psychology Association poll, saying that 40% of Americans report being more anxious than they were in 2017. Again, we'll have a link to the show note in the show notes at wargamingrecon.com/WR211. They say that about 40 million adult Americans suffer from anxiety. If you take that 40% of Americans reporting being more anxious than they were in 2017 and apply that to the number of board gamers, you get about a minimum of 3 million American board gamers suffering from anxiety. It's clear that this is an issue that's not going away. It's a issue that is going to impact more and more of us here in the United States. And I would say globally as well. So no matter where you are in the world, you might have anxiety or depression. You might know someone who does. And if you don't now, or you don't know anyone now who does, as the years go on, you very well might. I want to say that I am one of those 40 million Americans suffering from anxiety and depression. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But before I do, I want to just remind all of you, or in case you're a newer listener, you might not be aware of this, but previously we had done an episode way back in 2015. It was episode 162 titled Wargaming Against Depression with Joshua Shoebridge. You guys and ladies might be familiar with the name Joshua Shoebridge because I mentioned him, right? He helps out with the show. He does our audio, all the editing for that. And he also writes our show notes. He's a buddy. He lives down in Australia. He's a wargamer, loves sci-fi, loves Star Wars. He's a wargamer dad. He's been on the show a few times and he does a lot here. And then he's also involved pretty heavily online. If you're on any of like the Facebook wargaming groups or the social media, you probably have seen posts that he's done, or maybe you've interacted with them, right? In that episode from 2015, in episode 162, Joshua shared how wargaming helps him to deal with his environmental depression. I thought he was very brave to do so, and I really appreciated that he did that. In this episode, though, I want to focus specifically on how tabletop gaming can both hinder and help my depression, and how it could also help yours. So I'm going to get personal here for a moment. And if you don't want to hear this, I won't take offense. You can just kind of skip ahead or otherwise join me for the ride. I'll make it brief. For as long as I can remember, I've had a fear of needles, right? A lot of people do. And I used to just think it was just kind of an odd trait of mine, something that like I just needed to man up and had to get over. A lot of guys don't like needles, but you get through it, right? You get your shots, you get your blood work, whatever you need done. You do it because you have to, right? Except it got to a point where it was keeping me from getting medical treatment that I would need, right? I wouldn't get the annual flu vaccine, and that might not seem like a terrible thing, right? But you got to keep in mind, I'm asthmatic, right? So I'm at a high risk for influenza. And if I get it, it can be really, really bad for me. And then on top of that, I have a 3-year-old daughter, right? So when my wife was pregnant, I remember one thing that my doctor said to me was that it was very, very important for me to get the flu vaccine then, and also for shortly after my child would be born, because it could do a lot of harm to the baby in utero, and also after the kid is a newborn, right? Because they can't really fight it off. They don't have all that. And if my wife got the vaccine as she did, right, that helps a lot. But like, you want to limit exposure as much as possible. And I'm not going to get on a high horse about vaccinations. It's a very controversial topic. I have strong opinions about it, which I'm not going to share. But what I am going to say is, if you're not familiar with how they work, it's this, right? So not only if you get a vaccine, does it help you? And I mean, there are percentages, right? So there's playing a probability, you're rolling a dice. But let's say that there's someone who can't get it for whatever reason. Maybe they're too young, maybe they have medical issues, they can't get it. So how do they stay protected from whatever the thing is, right? It's a herd mentality. So if they're surrounded by enough people who have the vaccine, those people get immunity. They're not going to get the disease or the ailment, or they're less likely to do so, right? And then that kind of creates a buffer around the person who's vulnerable, whether it's a fetus, whether it's a newborn kid, or whether it's someone who has an autoimmune disease who can't get it. I actually work with someone who is a good friend of mine, and she's not able to get it. Someone else who's very close to a buddy of mine can't get it as well. So they rely on this herd mentality to do it. And therefore, it became a problem when I was not getting vaccinated, right? And it wasn't because of religious reasons. It wasn't because of philosophical ones. It wasn't because I doubted the science or any of that kind of stuff. It was because at the time I felt I was too scared and I couldn't man up to do it. And in talking with my doctor, it was recommended that perhaps I should go see a therapist, right, to talk about this, to see if they might kind of find a way to nudge me along or help me out with this so that I could then go and get vaccinated if need be, or get blood work if need be, to make sure that I'm healthy and safe. And if not, that things can be done to help me, right? And in seeing this therapist, and I know not everyone will want to talk about seeing a therapist or will want to go see one. It's a private decision, really. And I'm not going to go into the details of really my health or anything. I'm going to kind of skim the surface of it, partly because honestly, it's no one's business. I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm not trying to hide things, but I don't want to dilute the message by going too deep into the woods, right? I don't want to get lost so that I fail to see the forest from the trees. But in seeing a therapist, I ended up being diagnosed with anxiety and mild depression. And my type of anxiety is multifaceted, right? So a variety of things trigger it. And everyone's different, right? And just because you might have some fears or some phobias or some things that kind of give you pause that might sound like things that I'm talking about, doesn't mean that you have anxiety, doesn't mean you have depression. And I'm not saying you do, right? So I'm not diagnosing anyone. I'm just talking about me. I get very anxious, for lack of a better word, in social settings, large groups, unfamiliar locations, things that aren't known to me, when there's a lot of pressure, that causes it too. I like things to be just right. I strive for perfection. I just kind of every day have a high level of anxiety. And the way that it's been described to me, and also that I think it can be helpful, is imagine that you're sitting on the side of a road and you see cars driving by, right? And there's always cars driving by, right? But imagine there's a lot of cars, like it's rush hour, and they're whizzing past, and it never ends. And if you try to make a choice, right, you can either sit there and watch it go past and not let it bother you, or you can go out, right? You can run out into the road, throw your hands up and say, stop! Cars don't go. You need to stop. And that's kind of what it's like to live with anxiety, where those cars are always whizzing by. There's always tons of traffic. And you're constantly going out and saying, stop, stop, stop. So whenever something sets off anxiety, you're like, stop, stop. And learning to live with anxiety is a process of learning to be at peace, knowing that there will be cars that will drive by. It's okay that they go by. It's okay that there'll be a lot of them, that there'll be noise, that you do not have to go out and stop it. You do not have to feel compelled to change it. And that their driving by does not negatively impact you. And the point in which any of these things kind of become something that you have to deal with, or that you should maybe consider seeking help about, is when they negatively impact your life. They change your quality of life, or they influence things in a negative way at your work or at your home or any of that kind of stuff. So then in June of 2018, I released a Patreon-only update. If you're not a backer on Patreon, you can do so by going to wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. And I just wanted to let backers know about what I had discovered. I explained that I was sharing it because of how I felt it impacted the show, right? I mentioned a few moments ago that I have a pretty high standard for things, right? That I want things with the show to be just right. I feel that each of you deserves best from me because you give me your time, you give me your community. You might have a stake in the show. Maybe you've told friends about it. Maybe you've talked us up. Maybe you've given us reviews or rated us, or maybe you've come to an event or a convention because we're there or because we've talked about it. Maybe you're a backer on Patreon. Maybe you are a sponsor. Maybe you've given us $5 as a tip or something to help us keep the show going. You have skin in the game, right? Your time is valuable. You are valuable. I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to come across as if I'm ungrateful for what you do for that, for this relationship we have. And it sounds odd to think of it that way, but we have a relationship, right? You listen, I create. You might interact, maybe give feedback or post on social media or talk when you see me in person or whatever. And I receive that, or I act on it, or I share it. So we have that going on, and that's a great dynamic, which does not really exist when you look at things like radio or broadcast TV or any of that. It's pretty unique to podcasting, right? And because of that, I really feel that the show has to be as good as possible, that everything needs to just be hitting on all cylinders. It has to be running as well as it can. And I place even more pressure on myself. And I basically set myself up to fail because I create a certain level of expectation that's unattainable. And when I don't attain it, I go, oh, and I feel bad. And I feel like I've let you down. And then it happens again and again and again, not for lack of trying, but because no matter how hard I try, it's impossible, right? I work a full-time job. I have a family. I have friends. I do the show. And basically my plate is so full that I need to find a way to rebalance it so that I maybe have a little less food on my plate. Or maybe I don't put all the heavy stuff on one side, right? Maybe I spread it a little bit. So that means that I need to reevaluate how things are done with the show. And I talk about this more in depth in that Patreon update. And so I'm not going to go a whole lot into it. But I also have other symptoms which have nothing to do with the show. I'm not trying to guilt anyone into it. Guilt is a very dangerous thing. And a lot of it is just stuff that I placed on myself. One thing you might be surprised to know is that I'm an introvert, right? I tend to stick to the edge of a crowd, right? So if you see me at a convention, I don't like to be in the middle of it. I don't like to be in the thick of it. So if there's a lot of people, I'm going to be off in a corner. Or maybe I'm going to happen to disappear. And you might be like, oh, I saw Jonathan a few minutes ago. Way to go. Turns out maybe I'm at the bar getting a bite to eat. Or maybe I'm up in my room. Or you might see that I'm often traveling with a buddy, right? Because I feel that safety there. Those large groups actually kind of trigger my social anxiety. So it's not a matter whether I like or dislike you. It's the fact that there's so many people or there's so much stuff going on. There's such a buzz that it's just a lot for me to deal with. So I get really shy in large groups. And if you've ever seen me at a convention or a game day, you might kind of wonder why I might not be as dynamic as I am on the show, or maybe I don't seem to have as much of a spark. And it's not because I'm unhappy to be there. It's just because of my anxiety. And for a long time, I didn't realize I had it. I didn't know what it was. I just thought, oh, you know, I'm an introvert. I'm shy. It's just kind of how it is. And I would try harder to overcome it. And oftentimes I would succeed, but sometimes actually trying harder wouldn't help. It would make things worse. So you kind of know that now anyway, that being quiet and not engaging with people are some symptoms of my anxiety. They're things that I do to cope with it. I'm not saying very well, but just kind of one of the things. So like going to a convention, going to a game day, they're actually really stressful for me. And I never realized that I was behaving differently necessarily or why I was, but that when I did learn about this anxiety and this depression, I became very ashamed of it. I felt like I was weak. I felt like it was something I couldn't overcome. I felt like maybe I couldn't continue the show. I felt that I was letting you down. I felt that my job would suffer, that my family life would suffer, that my life would suffer, that the show would suffer, that I wasn't giving you guys and ladies what you deserve. And that was hard for me. It was very, very difficult for me to share that in the Patreon update that I did. And although I knew after doing that I would share eventually with everyone as I'm sharing now, I knew I needed time. And so it's been a process for me to get to this point to share this with all of you. It's not easy. And I don't want your pity. I'm not asking for that. I'm not trying to guilt anyone. So if you feel that way, please know that is not my intent. But I'm sharing this because I'm not alone. I know that I'm not alone, and I know that I'm not weak. I just, it's how my body is. It's how I am. And I'm doing things to take care of it and to get a handle on it. And that involves, you know, looking at all the different options and seeing what fits and finding out the appropriate things that work for me, which may not work for you or for a friend of yours or whoever you might know who might have these kind of situations and symptoms. But one thing that does help me is gaming. And I just kind of want to share, now that move away from me so much about my history, I want to share how tabletop gaming can help. Okay, so I have 5 tips, and this might bring you back, if you're a long-time listener, to those 5, whatever, top 10 who's-y what's-its, you know, that we used to do and that I've done on my other show, Geeks Explicitly. And I think if you are someone who suffers from anxiety or depression, you might feel or find that these might help you. They might not. Again, I'm not a professional. I'm not saying that they definitely will. I'm not saying they definitely won't. But I'm saying that they might be worth you spending some time to think about them to see if perhaps they could help you. They could be useful. So here goes. And these aren't in, I'm giving them like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but they're not ranked. It's not like number 1 is better than number 2 or anything like that. Okay. So the first thing is tabletop gaming provides a safe space in which to deal with social anxiety. It's basically exposure therapy, okay? So I know that being in a large group or being in an unfamiliar place is stressful to me, right? And maybe it's stressful to you, but I know that if I'm going to be there doing an activity I love, playing a game I love, or participating at an event I really like, or that I'm going to see people who I feel comfortable with and who I really like, it makes it easier. And it's not like flipping a switch, you know, doesn't, as soon as I know that there's going to be people I know or that I'm comfortable with or whatever, doesn't change it to make it be like, okay, it's perfectly fine. It's still an adjustment for me, but it makes it better. And it makes it so that it's easier to deal with the things that might kind of cause me to be a little uptight and to draw inward so that I can be like, hey, I'm around like-minded people. I'm around people who like to play the same kind of way I do, or who are into the same kind of games, or I'm playing a game that I'm really familiar, one that I love, that I get so excited about. That helps. Number 2, tabletop gaming encourages me to try new things. I know I'm not alone in feeling that it's hard to adjust to something new, right? And I tend to be like, oh, I don't like anything new. I'm not going to do it. And then I slowly transition to a more reasonable approach to it. And so trying new things, especially for the show here, has been wonderful. It's exposed me to new people, to new places, new events, new games, so that there's always something different. And it allows me to be okay with all these differences. And then that's transitioned into other areas of my life. So it's not just with gaming, but it's been great so that like I can do the show and know, you know, one episode I'm going to have a guest on and I might have no really connection with the guest other like no friendship or it's not someone I've known for a long time or things like that, but that I can then have this interesting conversation with them and we can connect over gaming so that I can interact with this new person. And then another episode right after, I can be talking about something completely different. I can be reviewing a game, something brand new, right? A new style of play, maybe something that would be uncomfortable for me. So many moons ago, there was a board game, and I can't for the life of me remember what it is, but maybe you can. It was a party game, and you had to do like a lot of crazy things. You might have to wear funny hats or hold your arms up for like 3 minutes or whatever, or act and do silly things. Something like that would be, for example, Cards Against Humanity, where you might have to answer things that might make you uncomfortable. So someone might say, you know, the dog blanks the cat, right? And you have to fill in the blank. And you might put something that you would never say in normal life that kind of makes you go like, oh no, right? Break conventional mores. But it makes it okay because it breaks the ice through the game. So things like that, I find are very helpful. Number 3, tabletop gaming gives nearly instant feedback to help me decipher what works well for me and what is a trigger for my anxiety. If I'm playing a game, right, I can know instantly if I mess up, right? and not doing my best makes me anxious. I'm sure it makes a lot of us feel uncomfortable, right? But then I can instantly see, okay, like I move those guys on the table and oh man, that was a dumb thing to do, right? They got mowed down. But then I'm learning from that. And I'm like, okay, you know, that makes me uncomfortable, right? Because I'm not doing great. And I don't need to win. For me, it's not about winning the game. It's about having a good time. But I know that it creates a less enjoyable experience for others if I'm just not playing well, if I'm making constant mistakes or whatever, if I'm doing stupid moves, basically, is what it is. So I want to make sure that I'm doing as well as I can so that it provides a challenge for my opponents, that they have an enjoyable experience, and that it's memorable. And so you kind of get that feedback. You can see from the people across the table. You can see from when you go to an event or when I do the podcast, right? Get feedback from all of you. And that is wonderful. I love getting feedback, whether it's positive, whether it's constructive criticism, any of that I really love. And I used to fall into a pit before where I would take everything so much to heart and such negative feedback sometimes, especially in the early days when the audio quality wasn't great. And I'm not going to share what any of that feedback was. But, I mean, it was spot on and deserved, but it was not what would build one's self-esteem up for such a thing. And I don't normally have issues with self-esteem, but if you keep on hearing people say, oh, you know, you're awful or the quality is terrible and why are you even bothering? It takes a toll on you, right? And eventually you got to build up that thick skin to get to it. So getting that nearly instant feedback is great so that can then make adjustments and can build on it. The fourth thing that tabletop gaming helps me with is that it incentivizes me through reaching goals, right? So I can assemble a squad of troops. My goal is to assemble that squad of troops and I can start. It might take a few hours or longer, but at the end, I have a squad of troops assembled. Space Marines, Volksgrenadiers, Continental Infantry, tanks, artillery, whatever. It's there. It's tangible. It's in front of me. And much like chocolate to the Pavlovian dogs, right? And ringing the bell and the food and the salivation, that's conditioned response helps me to be like, okay, I can do this. I can deal with it. I can attain things and I can put myself out there. It's okay. So again, whether it's assembling a squad of troops or painting a house, planning a scenario, playing a game, or setting up an event at a convention, all these things create goals that have tangible results that just further built up on each other and come into this neat jigsaw kind of puzzle that puts it together. So when everything's there, you end up with this beautiful tableau at the end of it. And then the fifth way that tabletop gaming helps me is that it allows me control of something, even when everything else in my life might feel like it's spinning out of control. And I have to emphasize feels like, because although I might think that things are going like all woo, it doesn't mean things really are, right? Because I have the need to be the best I can be, to do the best I can, I really expect a lot, both of myself and of other people. And if it doesn't get there, I think, oh no, things aren't working out right. Things are going out of control. But I can control painting a figure. I can control setting up a table, right? Putting the cigar box battle mat on it, putting the crescent root buildings on top and the Wargamers terrain features on there. I can control putting the models for bolt action on there or the Perry miniatures models. I can control laying out the tanks and all that. I can control building it, constructing it, gluing it, painting it, flocking it, basing it, all that. I can control these things. And if it doesn't come out as I like, I've learned, and I'm continuing to learn, that that's okay because no one else has to see it, right? And even if they do, it's never as bad as it seems. We all hear stories of those rivet counters, right? The ones who say, the facings on those troops are from early 1808, when really it changed for the time period that we're doing in the game. So by mid-1808, they would have been a slightly darker hue of that color. And those people call you out, right? We've all heard stories of this, right? It goes all over social media and Grognog tells us, and newcomer comes in and hears these things. And then they go, oh no, what the heck? I don't want to get the wrong buttons on there. I don't want to have too many rivets on my tank. I don't want to have the wrong camo that I slightly did in a wrong angle or whatever. that can be off-putting. But by and large, there are not as many of those people in the hobby as we would be led to believe, right? Most gamers enjoy playing the game. And yeah, they want your army, right? If you're playing as a game of Waterloo, which we just recently had the big anniversary of, if you're playing a game of Waterloo, right, and you're playing as the British, your British troops should be painted in an appropriate British color. They shouldn't be yellow. They shouldn't be pink. They shouldn't be blue. They shouldn't be lime green or polka dots or whatever. But like, if they are, I mean, that's okay. It's not great, but most people aren't going to call you up because you use a slightly lighter tone of red or slightly darker tone of red, or your facing's a little different, or you put the wrong helmet on, or things of that sort. Most people won't do it. Most people are going to be understanding, especially if you're new to the hobby, especially if you're new to the period, or you're just starting a project. They realize it's a process. They realize that you're learning and that it's more important to have another enthused, excited, interested, and willing, friendly gamer than someone who's cranky, who's not going to have a whole lot of fun, who's going to make life miserable, but who's going to have those correct facings. Most gamers know that. Most gamers are wonderful people. Very supportive group, an exciting community that just wants to have a good time and wants to support and help one another. And I got to say, my experience with gamers has been overwhelmingly positive. And throughout my years, and it doesn't feel like it's been so long, but throughout my years, it's been really, really positive. Gamers are just a really good group of people. And it helps when you have issues like this. And I know it might seem that there might be a disproportionate number of tabletop gamers who suffer from maybe mental health issues or social awkwardness or a variety of those kind of things, ways that might feel different from the norm. Different's okay. There's nothing wrong with different. And I don't know whether there are a larger percentage of people who are different, whatever that means, who are tabletop gamers or not. I know people might feel that such a thing exists. I'm not saying there does, but I'm going to bring you back to those numbers from the start of the episode. Core estimating 7.5 million board gamers minimum. Time magazine saying 40% of Americans are more anxious than they were in 2017. That about 40 million adult Americans suffer from anxiety. That gives you about 3 million American board gamers suffering from anxiety. Then you got to add in, again, the minis gamers, the role players, the tabletop gamers, the video gamers, the computer gamers. You got to add all of that in, and those numbers balloon out. And then you expand it globally, right? And it goes, woo, bigger and bigger and bigger. So, of course, there's going to be more gamers. And, of course, there's going to be, as a result, more people who are gamers who suffer from things like depression and anxiety. But I think gamers, by and large, are an understanding group who are supportive, who care, who encourage, who are good people. And no matter what we as gamers think or believe about on any number of hot topic issues, at the end of the day, the most important thing is the game, right? And it, for us, might include hot topic issues of gaming, like D6 or D10. Do you do counters? Do you paint it? Will you mod your troops? Are you a theater of the mind person? Do you need everything laid out in front of you? Is 20 the best skill? Is 25 the best skill? Is 15 the best skill? What rule set is the best? Things like that. Those might be our hot topic issues. What magazine should you look at? What research should you use? What size table is ideal? Are skirmish games okay, right? Those things for gamers might be hot topic issues. And there are other, you know, larger hot topic issues that apply to all sorts of people. But by and large, none of that really matters when you're a gamer. What matters is you're playing a game with someone across the table and that you're being nice to one another and having a good time, right? That's really where it comes down to. So I just want to recap the 5 ways that tabletop gaming has helped me, can help you. And here it goes. Number one, tabletop gaming provides a safe space in which to deal with social anxiety, i.e. exposure therapy. It encouraged me, number two, to try new things, new games, new places, new experiences, meet new people. Number three, it gives nearly instant feedback to help decipher what works well for me and what can be a trigger for my anxiety. Number four, It incentivizes me through reaching goals. I can assemble a squad of troops. I can paint a house, plan a scenario, play games, set up an event at a convention. They have a final result there, right? It has an actual conclusion that's measurable, that's tangible, that I can feel good about, that any of us can feel good about. And number five, allows me control of something, even when maybe other parts of my life might feel like they are not under control. So those are five ways that tabletop gaming can help. I hope that that information might be helpful to you. At this point, I want to talk about something else that has come up recently. So there's a podcaster who I greatly admire. His name is Daniel J. Lewis. He is the host of the Audacity to Podcast and a whole variety of other shows he's kind of helped get going. He has this big podcast network. And for me, although he doesn't talk about tabletop gaming or gaming really at all, he's been a major influence because he's helped me to make the show better for you, right? So he's taught me about technical stuff. He's taught me about processes to do and ways to handle things. And he's allowed me to find ways to really refocus myself so that I can give you really as good as I can without taking things so that I'm only doing the show, that everything else suffers in my life. Now, unfortunately, he's going through a really tough time. And I'm telling this because it's a cautionary tale, and he released it publicly on his the Audacity podcast feed. But he's going through a divorce. He's been married just a handful of years. He has a young child. And the reason why he's going through a divorce is his wife had left him while he was at a major podcast event. And she left him because he placed his focus on his show, on his business. He's self-employed as a podcaster. And that's what he always did. That's where his focus always was. And I'm sure he thought that he was providing for his family, that he was trying to hustle to make money to that way they could have what they needed. But that's not how it felt to his wife. And because he didn't have the focus on his family, he will tell you that he suffered and that when he realized it was too late for him, but he doesn't want it to be too late for anyone else. And so I know often, like here on the show and just in general, gamers are always talking about what's the next game you're going to play. Are you going to be at this convention? Are you going to buy that product? Or this is a new thing to get. And I mean, hey, like when we review stuff, right, we're saying, oh, this is a really good thing. Maybe you should consider getting it. You should consider going here. You should think about doing that. But really what we should all consider is finding an appropriate balance so that we're not always just going out and gaming with our buddies. We're not just always buying the new product, the new toy, going to every convention under the sun, right? As much fun as it is, right? We all have families. We all have friends, whether you're married or if you have children or your brothers, your sisters, you have siblings, aunts, uncles, parents, whatever. We have other people in our life, and we're never gonna wish that we spent more time playing another game, going to another convention. As much fun as we have doing all those things, and as much fun as we have finding a new game to buy, new models to get or to paint or whatever, we're not going to be when the end times come, right? We're not going to say to the Lords of Chaos or to Sigmar, we're not going to say, hey, yo, we wish we played 10 more games of 1775. No, we're going to say we wish we spent more time with our friends, more time with our family. So it's important to find that balance so that you can get the gaming goodies that you want to buy. You can spend time going to the gaming conventions you like to play the games you want to do, but also so that you do with your friends and your family. Maybe find ways to get your family into the hobby so that you can share that experience with them. No matter what, you know that no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, you know that you have to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew.
Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.